Our life matters. We think there isn't something behind it, but let me tell you something. When you find that there's a reason behind it and a connection, and you make connection with that reason, it makes a big difference. It's like, come on, you got to be kidding. Someone greater than me who's orchestrating life. And when I connect with that which is greater than me, then some things just, when it's just things start to make sense, things start to just come together. It's like, really? And oftentimes we're taking a path in life and we think that path is the chosen path. And somehow a crossroad comes in the middle of it and things change. And you think, oh, what a terrible thing. Maybe you think that way, but let me tell you something. These things are there for a reason. Oftentimes to get our attention to a greater purpose. Life isn't just full of coincidences. These hurdles, these obstacles, these difficulties, these things that happen in life have a reason. So last week, we were looking at a passage in Scripture, and it's interesting because I want to just make a quick reference to that Scripture. It's in Philippians chapter 3. I'm not going to spend all the time just looking at this passage in terms of just speaking out of this text of the Bible, but I'm going to make reference to it, talk about it a bit, and then move on to some of the things which are connected to the topic that we're on today. So Philippians chapter 3. For those of you that weren't here last week, I'm just going to make a quick read a bit of this because it's all connected. But I want to make mention of this. The writer of this book is Paul. He's the Apostle Paul. And he was one of the followers of Jesus that came after. He encountered Jesus. For those of you that don't know a lot of biblical history, he encountered Jesus after Jesus had died, rose again, ascended back to God. He encountered Jesus on a road where he actually was going to persecute Christians. Listen to this. He was on a road, physical road, to go to a city to persecute Christians. Wow. And on that road, it's recorded in the Bible, that on that road, Jesus appears to him with a light brighter than the noonday sun, knocks him off his feet. And he says, Jesus. You know, basically the encounter was amazing that he asked him, what do you want me to do? It's just a dramatic encounter. And God led him to this path. So it's interesting. He was thinking he was going one way. God encounters him. Things change. And his life changes forever. And this guy becomes one of the greatest proponents of the message of Jesus. As a matter of fact, the one who probably, we know he had a big influence because he wrote almost half of the New Testament. Half of the teachings in the New Testament are written by this guy. Can you imagine how life can change and shift to the direction that God wants you to go and boom, just the impact that you can have with God in your life. So anyways, so one of the things that Paul addresses in this letter, and particularly in this chapter 3, is that he had become a very learned man, well-trained in his education, religious education, and ways that he actually was a strict observer of the law. And actually, reputation, you know, amongst his peers were like, he's a great guy. But what's interesting is when he encountered Jesus, he said, everything that was to me that was really important in life that I thought was all that really was nothing. What's more important to me is to know Jesus. So, you know, and he says, look, verse 7. So Philippians 3 and verse 7, it says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God that is by faith. Come on. You know, we get to stand in a right relationship with God and have that sense of freedom, that sense of forgiveness, that sense that God accepts me. You know, the idea of righteousness is that you feel accepted by God. The idea of righteousness is that I can stand before a holy God. He says, you're my friend. I accept you. You don't need to be afraid to stand before me. Because that idea of standing in a right relationship with God takes away shame, takes away guilt, takes away condemnation and fear and judgment, right? There's a place. So Paul is saying that Jesus has become to me righteousness. It's through Jesus Christ that I can stand before God as righteous. I love this passage. Listen to this. It's in Romans 5:1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It says, the idea of being justified before God is that you can stand before God and be righteous. What he's saying is, therefore, being declared righteous in the sight of God, I have peace with God. Come on, how many of you are glad that you have peace with God, that you have a relationship with God in that way, that you can stand before God being guilt-free? You know, people are still attempting, whether it's religious people in this context. Paul was a very religious man. And you know, this is the difference. You're going to say, what's the difference between the message of Jesus, the Christian faith, and other faiths? Paul was of another faith, by the way, did you know? But most other faiths are trying to achieve righteousness in the eyes of God by doing things. Think about it for a minute. By doing things, by performing, and rituals, and spiritual things. I'm not talking about wrong things, right? You have to do things to be accepted. The difference is Jesus has done that which only God can do. Now let me say, sin is what separates from God. Everybody, we need to get this right. So if there's a wrong in us that needs to be corrected, somebody's got to correct it. Some people say, well, I think I can do it by my good works. Or I can do it by a way I live, a certain standard I keep, or certain laws that I do, certain rituals. Well, let me ask you this. How many rituals, how many laws, how many duties you need to perform to be acceptable? When do you know you've done enough? Think about that. When do you know you've done enough? Or you haven't done enough? When do you know you cross over? According to the New Testament, the teaching of Jesus, there's only one who did enough. He fulfilled all the law, all the requirements of God, and did that perfectly, and that's Jesus. He did it. And then besides doing that, he took upon himself our wrong, our sin, the things that keep us away from God. Listen to this verse in the Bible. I quoted it before, maybe quoted it last week. He who knew no sin, if you want 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Think of that. God made him who had no sin. This is a different translation, same thing. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Come on. You know what it is today? Today I have his coat of righteousness. I have his cloak. I have his covering. I'm covered with righteousness. I can stand with God and not be condemned or be found guilty, or because Jesus covers me. So what a beautiful thing to have this righteousness of Jesus. This righteousness, back to this passage I'm quoting, back in Philippians 3. This righteousness comes from God. Listen, this is what it says. This righteousness Philippians 3, the last part of verse 9. This righteousness comes from God, and it is by faith. You know how I receive it? Now, this is the interesting thing. How do we actually make appropriate? How do we appropriate? How can I apply this? It's just simply this. I apply it by saying, and anything I do is not enough. I just apply it by saying, I am not enough. I can't do enough. But he did it all. And by faith, I say, you're enough for me. I'm just saying in my spirit and even with my mouth, Jesus, you're enough for me. You're the one in whom I'm putting my faith. I'm trusting in you when I go before God that you're going to stand with me. Come on. Isn't that awesome? That's the beauty of being justified to be made right in the eyes of God through faith and having peace with God. Man, I don't have to fret and fear about that relationship anymore. That's a beautiful thing. So that's what Paul's talking about. But what's interesting, and I don't want to hang up, just stay there. That was just something I felt in my spirit to share this morning. Really wasn't part of what I was thinking, but I really felt God said, do it. You know me, when I get a nudge from the Lord, I got to say it. All right. So, but here's where we're going. So this guy, Paul, has an encounter with Jesus. Life changes forever. But this life not only makes the connection with Jesus, receives Jesus in his life in a relationship that makes him right with God, but he realizes that this is his life now forever. This is the way he's to live. He's not only just to receive Jesus to be his salvation, to be rescue him from the curse of sin. He is to receive Jesus to be his life forever. Are you with me? That Jesus is to be all and everything for him. As a matter of fact, his life passion becomes like, it's Jesus. I don't want nothing else but Jesus. Now you're going to say, well, you got to be kidding. What are you talking about? It's like when I have Jesus occupying. And listen, what I mean by that is, he is glorious. He's wonderful. He is, to me, my peace, my comfort. We just, sang a song. He's my shield. He's my defender. He's my rock. So Jesus becomes to me all. And what happens is, if I receive that sense of claim over my life, you see, it's a claim over my life, then when other things come to rock my boat, well, Jesus is in the boat. Do you remember that storm? How many remember that story in the Gospels? They were in the storm. This is the story, as some of you know. And they were going, the disciples got in the boat, and Jesus got in the boat, and Jesus said, we're going to go to the other side. And in the midst of the travel, the lake got rough. And they're in the boat thinking, oh, we're going to perish. Well, that's like your life and my life. Things could happen. Oh, things are going to go just out of whack. And it's like, Where is he? Where's that guy that can, where is he? And he's over there sleeping in the boat. Come on, how can Jesus sleep in the boat in the midst of the storm? Well, he's sleeping because he's already said, we're going to the other side. He's already said, we're going to the other side. So what are you worked up about? Just remember, he's in the boat. Isn't that awesome? Revelation came to you, didn't it? Amen. Thank you, Lord. So for this guy, Paul, it became a consuming thing. I want you to realize, verse 10 is, I want to know him. Look, he already knows Jesus, but he says, I want to know him. We sang a song. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I know I'm not a great singer, but you got to just put up with some of those times, right? And we ask him to come. Well, let me ask you, has he already come? Well, why do we ask him to come more? You know, here's the thing. We ask him to come more, just like Paul is saying, I want to know him more. Does Paul know Jesus? Yes, but what's he saying now in verse 10? He says, I want to know Christ more. He didn't say it like that, but that's what he's saying. He already knows Christ, but I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, become like him in his death, and then somehow attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now keep going with me. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Look at this. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Listen, this guy's been walking with Jesus for 30 years. He is in prison writing this letter, ready to be taken to the Roman Rome so he could be executed. Did you know that's what he's writing? But he's saying, I have a passion in my life to know Jesus more, even after 30 years of serving him, planting, I don't know how many churches, and seeing so many people come to know Jesus. It's like, I still want to, my life's passion is I want to know him more. I want to know more of his power, of his resurrection, more of that communion of sharing in his suffering. And then he says this, I haven't quite got it yet. Come on, you, the giant of the faith, haven't quite got it yet? Man, I'm telling you, it gives me hope. You guys are going to know how old I'm going to be this year, because how many times have I said it? 60. Can you believe it? 60 years old this year. Come on. But you know what? I'm looking back and making the same statement. It's this. And you know, here's the glory, the grace of God. The grace of God is that I came to know Jesus when I was 18, 42 years ago this year. 42 years ago, Jesus became a reality for me. And it was so powerful and significant of an encounter that I said, God, I'm yours. I'm all in. You know that expression? Poker, all in. That doesn't mean I've been perfect. Listen, it's not saying I'm perfect. It's just that I just want you to be my Lord. I want you to be in that helm of my life. I want you to be the captain of my life. I want you to make decisions for me. I want you to guide me and lead me and direct me. I just know life is better. For 42 years, man, life has been fantastic. Does that mean that I'm a perfect husband? No. Does that mean I'm a perfect pastor? No. Does that mean I'm a perfect father? No. It just means that I have Jesus in my life to help me, to walk with me, to grow, you know, to be encouraged, and to make a difference in the life which I have and you have. So it says here, he says, not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect. But he says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Listen, this is the key to the message today. I'm going to be 60, and I'm thinking, Lord, and most all of my life, because when I gave my life to Jesus, I said, Lord, I want to serve you for the rest of my life. So I went off to Bible college right away, training. And I've been in ministry in some capacity for most of these years, almost 40 years. But here's the thing. I feel, Lord, we still haven't quite got there yet. Because it's not over. And here's the thing. There's a place when you come into a relationship with God. And this is the neat thing, guys. I really believe part of the word that the Lord gave me over my prayer. I calling it prayer retreat, but I don't like the word retreat because it's not retreat, although it means that you get away for prayer. You understand? Prayer advance. Amen. But it was a time with God, and the word the Lord gave me, and I wrote it down because, and it's interesting because when God gives you a word, oftentimes it's not just the word that you're going to get. When God speaks to your heart, especially about direction, and this word for me was personal, and it's also corporate. And you know what I mean by that? I got to apply it for my life, but I want you to take it and apply it the way it fits you. And it's according to this scripture we're reading. It's really kind of interesting. It just popped up in my spirit. And it was really this. And here I wrote it down. It's alignment for assignment. You not forget that? Alignment for assignment. And I'm telling you, it shook me. I'm in this time and I'm thinking, Lord, what do you mean? And it's, hey, this season of my life and whatever season that you're in your life, because we're all in different places, right? I want you to be in a place, I want me to be in a place where I'm lined up with Him, where I'm in a relationship with Him that's in alignment. That if there's things in my life that need to be realigned, that they get dealt with. This season, moving forward, I'm not taking the past season and stuff of the past with me. Come on, are you with me? I can learn from the past. I can learn from what's happened in the past season. But let me tell you something. I am not content. I am like Paul. I am not content. Now, what does that mean? I'm content, you know, in that way that Paul says to be content in those things, that, you know. But I am not content to stay where I'm at. Are you with me? I am saying I want to be a better person. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better granddad. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better leader, shepherd, pastor. I want to be a better friend. So what was in the past, I'm just saying, Lord, how can I align myself with you for the assignments that you've given to me? So the enemy's plan is to keep us trapped in the past. Right? You know, whatever that is. And oftentimes, if there's negative stuff in our past, he loves to bring it up. He loves to say, well, look at you. You know, and what happens, we define ourselves with the junk of the past. Whether it was yesterday's past, or a week ago past, or a year ago past, or years ago past, the enemy would love for you to define yourself with the past. I would rather get my definition of who I am, let God be the one who defines me. Now here's the thing. So when it comes to alignment, I want to hear you to hear this. If you're making notes, maybe you need to write it, or if you're good to remember, great, remember. But I'm telling you, one of the things that God's saying to me, and I think it's important for all of us, I need to know who and what I'm aligned to. See, here's the thing. I want to ask you something. You might think you're brilliant, and you're all that. And maybe you are. But let me tell you, you might be all that, but you're not all that. Nobody is all that. Do you get what I'm saying? Nobody is God, but God. As much as you have knowledge and ability and things that you can say, I can take, I have it in my back pocket. You know, it's part of my wallet. It's in my life. It's not enough. So for me to be aligned with God, I need to recognize this deficit that I need Him more. I need Him more for the things that He's calling me to go deeper and to go to, you know, to love more, to care more, to give more. Come on, how many of you know what I'm saying here? I need Him because without Him, I can do nothing. But listen, so part of this alignment, I'm going to make a couple of references. There's a reference in your Bible of John 15. And that reference, just make a note of it. In John 15, Jesus is talking about our life in relationship to God with Him being the vine and we being the branches. How many know that parable, that story? It's an illustration. So Jesus is saying in that story, he said, you abide in me, and I will abide in you. What he's saying is you and I are so vitally connected that it's that relationship when we're so connected that what's flowing through me, listen, alignment is what's, the word abiding could be aligned. You align with me, and I will align with you. And what's going to, and you will ask what you will, and it'll be done. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, I want you to hear this. You know, there's so much that I can do because, oh, I think I'm all that. Right? I'm not minimizing our ability, but I'm just saying there's only so much I can do. But if I want to do things that change things around me, that change atmosphere, that change lives of other people, that I want to be a catalyst. I want to be one who makes a difference. I want to be a rock that God throws in the pond and boom, it just ripples everywhere. I'm not talking about a cockiness here. I'm talking about something of God gets into the place where I'm at so people know and feel and experience God. That's what I want to do. So my thing is, what is it in my life that's keeping it from that? What is it in my life that's keeping the impact that my life can have in my pond that God throws me in? What's in my life that's keeping it from really making a positive impact, from really influencing, really touching people with God? So in this passage in John 15, we're not going to go reading it now, but he says this. He says, if you are in that relationship, he says, abide in me as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Well, let's keep reading for a minute. I'm not, maybe it was the verse before that. But it says, if a branch in me bears fruit, he... Okay, that's true. Go back to verse 3. You got me now here thinking of the verse. 2 maybe. Sorry. But he's... Yeah, there it is. Okay, that's it right there, guys. Look what he says here. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Well, what he's saying, there's another translation, guys. I think it's a better translation, and it's like this. If any branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, the other translation says he lifts it up. It's like the vine that has the branches that are too close to the bottom, he lifts it up. That's another translation for that. Instead of cutting it off, he actually lifts it up and makes it so it's able to produce more fruit. Check that one out sometime. All right. Then he says, while every branch that does bear fruit, hey, is your life bearing some fruit? I hope so. I'm hoping that my life is bearing some fruit. But what God's intention is that my life would bear even more fruit. What did he do? In order for me to bear more fruit, there's something that takes place. And oftentimes what takes place is not very pleasant. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. He prunes. He prunes. You know what he's up? Chopping things off that don't belong, that are just useless, that are stuff that's not productive to fruit. Pruning is about taking off the old dead stuff. Are you following me? So what's in my life? Now, this is what I feel the Lord is saying for us this year. What's the dead stuff? What's the stuff in your life that isn't helpful for you to be more fruitful? You know, we all got stuff. I'm not pointing fingers at you today. I'm asking God, what's in my life? Lord, what's in my life that I'm allowing in my life that's... Actually, let's say this. That's not helpful. That actually is a negative influence. Hey, I want to share something. You know, some of those could be your thoughts, your feelings. They're not always external things. If I'm believing the lies of the enemy concerning me and concerning, you know, and maybe even negative thoughts that people have spoken about me, and all of a sudden they're somehow ingrained in my soul, I need to shed that stuff off. Hey, this is the time to get rid of the stuff. This is the time to cut off. This is the time to let the Lord take his pruning shears and say, God, go for it. Boom, cut that off. You know, here's the thing. Cutting hurts. Don't expect to be just a great, pleasant experience. Because you know what? I am used to certain things. When I'm used to think a certain way or feel a certain way or do certain things, I am used to it. They're my habit. And I'm comfortable with a habit. Come on. Oh, yeah. Even when, see, it's just the way it goes. And, you know, to get cut off of a habit that's not helpful. Do you follow what I'm saying? A habit that is not helpful. That's a negative influence in my life. Right? That's what we're talking about. You have a choice. Lord, are you... I have a choice. God, am I allowing you to cut this thing off my life? It's not helping me. It's not helping my family. It's not helping my... You know, whatever you're doing in your life, take your shears and do it, Lord. Because I want my life to produce more fruit. Now here, I want to give you some practical application here. I really felt God says something very clearly. Oh, by the way, let me just use that for back to John 15. I'm going to have to turn to it, although because of the context, I need to find what verse it is, and once I get it, we'll... Okay, so the next verse, verse 3, look what it says. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. You know what he's saying? You're already pruned. You're already pruned because the word that spoke to you, you believed it. You let it impact you rather than any word that lied to you. You believed it. It's made you clean. How many of God's word is to purify us? Come on, how many of you know it's the word of God by the application of his spirit that makes us clean? It's the blood of Jesus. But it's your word in Psalm 119 that makes me clean. Amen? How do I find myself clean? By taking heed to the word of God. Psalm 119. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119. It's his word. Let me tell you what the Lord spoke to me. And I'm telling you, it was like a boom to me. Now I'm going to speak out of my own weakness here now. You know, listen to this, guys. I have lived off the wonderful grace of God, which is like you live off the... You know, how many of you can live off your laurels? You know what I mean by that? Live off the things that you have already, right? And live off your gifts, giftedness. Live off the blessings of the past. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I have lived off the blessing that God has put his word in my life, and much of it, he just brings it back to me. I'm amazed how gracious God is in bringing back his word that's been put into my spirit years ago. Do you hear what I just said? As much as I'm grateful for that, the Lord spoke a very clear, powerful, resounding no. To be realigned with me means you need to realign yourself with my word for this year, even a greater measure. Just don't think you know it and you got it memorized or taught, you know, recollected, that's enough. Because I want his word to be washing me continually, cleansing me continually, to be aligned, to be constantly be in alignment with him. So I want to encourage you with something, guys. Listen, you make a note of this if you're interested. We have, how many of you saw the church's Facebook page? How many are on, hey, who's on Facebook? Put your hand up. Wait, half of you. Okay, we have a Facebook page at CWC. It's a great way to communicate. We put things up every week. There's several Truthy posts, okay? Very interactive. We have a web page. How many have seen our new web page? Okay, and it's getting worked on. We're doing great. We're building it. It's going to be great. All right, now, that's one way we're communicating. Well, we just put on a web page, and I believe it's on a web page, certainly on a Facebook page, a way that you and I can engage in reading the Bible. How many seen that? I started it. Come on. It's been many years. I don't know when was the last time. Let me tell you. I'm just being honest with you. I don't know when was the last time that I read the Bible through in a year. You're going to say, oh, pastor, shame on you. Well, you can say what you like. I'm just saying that. I know, just having fun with you. Right, exactly. But the point being, what I'm sensing God saying, and that's not to say I make little of the Bible. Do you understand? It's that exercise. It's that discipline I'm talking about, reading through the Bible in a year. Well, there's a reading through the Bible in a year program that we've made access to, and we all have access to. It's on the YouVersion of your digital Bible. Guess who is the guy who does a commentary throughout it? Nikki Gumbel, founder of Alpha. It's amazing. So I'm in my fifth day or sixth day. Come on, you know what it is? He actually, you can listen to this. You can do this reading it, or you can do it audibly. There's one day I was in a rush. Guess what I did? I put it on my recorder, and it read to me. Nikki actually reads the commentary. Another guy reads the Bible. Yeah, so it's really cool. Hey, who wants to be better aligned? Who wants to be in a better place of God flowing through you this year? And let him be God in my life. And he's going to. And I really feel the Lord is saying, what we're doing, I just felt God say, you're going to be better aligned with me. And I want you to be better aligned with me in my word. As personally, and also as a church. What I'm sensing the Lord saying is, when we move forward, as we move forward in the church, there are two wings of the plane I don't want ever to be deficient of. There's two wings. I don't want to be without one of those wings. Okay? One is the Word. The other is the Spirit. Are you following me? I want the Word of God, and I want the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something, guys. The Word of God, the truth that's contained in the Bible, preempts any word that you have. Did you hear what I just said? The Word of God is more important. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's got to be the one we wield. It's got to be the standard by which we go. So if your word and my word, or the word I receive or the word I give, doesn't line up with the Word of God, toss it. It's not from the Lord. The context of the Bible I'm talking about. I'm talking about the intent of the Bible. I'm not talking about finding that word exactly. I'm talking about the character of God. God's ways. What does God think about it? So listen to this. Very important. I believe that the Word of God's going to become more powerful, more just impactful in your life. Amen. I'm declaring it. I am prophesying that God's Word is going to become more real, more powerful, that you're going to take this thing and you're going to just say, yeah, Lord, hey, I just want... If I'm going to make a difference, if I'm going to grow, if I'm going to impact the people I hang with, people I work with, people I live with, there's going to be a difference of Jesus being glorified through my life. I got to be saturated in His Word. Come on. And as I saturate myself in His Word, He's going to grow. Fruit's going to come out of my life. And I got to be filled with the Spirit. There's a guy by the name of D.L. Moody. How many heard of him? Way back years ago, wrote great books. He encountered the Holy Spirit. It was just amazing how his ministry changed after he encountered the Holy Spirit. And what's interesting about Moody is he said the same thing. I need the Word of God. I need the Spirit of God. If I live my life just with the Word of God, I'm going to dry up. But if I live my life just with the Spirit of God, I'm going to blow up. I don't know about you, but I want to just be in that place where I'm steadfast and just, you know, so let it be, Lord. I pray for you this year that you're going to be established in the Lord. Now, I'm going to wrap this up with this. You have assignments this year. You have places that you encounter God. God's going to set you on a course. When God sets you on a course, you're going to know that course. I'm convinced that when, and here's the beautiful thing, when God has an assignment or a course or a direction for your life, and you start to flow in it, you start to believe it, you start to walk out in it, let me tell you what I'm sensing the Lord saying is what I, the word I gave to Anu earlier, that the Lord will bring it to completion. The work that God established, that work that God does in your life, He has preordained good works that we should walk in. Ephesians 2:10. How many of you know that passage? God has preordained good works that I should walk in. Well, how am I going to know what the good works are unless I'm aligned myself with Him? If I'm walking in communion, if I'm walking in relationship, He gets down. I get downloads. Are you following me? I want heaven's downloads regularly to know how to make a difference. Now, does that mean I am obedient to everyone? I wish I was. There's many times I miss it. But I want to do better this year. I want to do better in communion with my God, in relationship with Father in heaven, that when I hear from Him, that I respond, that I'm obedient, that I'm just saying, yes, Lord, because I want my life to make a greater difference. Amen? Amen. And that's my little short message to you today. There's a lot more could be said, but I really want to just challenge you. I want to encourage you. I want to bless you. I want your life to be living in abundance. That's what Jesus came to do, that you might have life and have it more abundant. Be fruitful. The Lord's call for you is to be fruitful and multiply. The Lord's call to you is to be living life abundant. And I release that over you today in Jesus' name. Abundance of life. Abundance of life. And you know, abundance of life comes when we align ourselves, recognizing Christ in me is the hope of glory. Abundance comes into my life when I don't look at my failures to define me. Abundance comes into my life when I look at myself in the mirror and say, glory. Because God says you're being changed from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So as I say to you, look at yourself in the mirror and say, glory. There's glory there. God sees glory there. I need to see glory. This is not a cocky confidence in myself, in my flesh. This is the Spirit of God saying, you're glorious. Son, you are glorious. Son, you are my son in whom I'm well pleased. I delight in you. Don't look at the stuff to define you that through your negative thinking or other people's projection. Look at me and how I see you. I see you as the son that I'm putting on my shoulders and parading around to the world. This is my son. Come on. He picked you up. He picks you up and he puts you on his shoulder and he says, this is my son. I delight in him. Look at him. That's what they did during the bar mitzvah for the Jewish young boys. Ho! Take that. Take that in Jesus' name. Another thing I want to say, guys, when we put Jesus in that rightful place, what other people do, and listen, what other people do or don't do doesn't hurt as much. I was going to say it doesn't hurt, but the reality is it does hurt. Do you understand? There's a place when Jesus has a rightful place in my life that I don't let that stuff get to me. That stuff won't define me. Whew. Thank you, Lord. So we just want to release you with the blessing of God today. Release the kingdom of God over you, that this season is going to be great. You know, we've had prophetic words. You've had prophetic words. I am still believing God for these, for my life. I'm still believing God for words over this church. You still need to continue to contend. You know, this season is a season of contending for all that God has for you and for your family. How many have had words spoken over your family and over your husbands or wives or fathers and sons and daughters and all that? I'm just saying, I am claiming those words for me, for my family. I am saying with the word of the Lord, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank you, God. Bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance over you. Come on. And may he give you the shalom. the peace. In Jesus' name, amen.